Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Okay, we are on now. Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program, which is actually 90 minutes tonight. We're so glad that you're here. Thank you so very much for joining us. We have an interesting yet exciting show for you tonight. I have just been waiting and preparing pretty much throughout the day to bring you all this broadcast tonight, and I'm very excited about it. I mean, very excited about it. And we're going to do a little housekeeping first and foremost. You know, just for your information, Lady Love is on, has taken a sabbatical. She's taking care of some personal matters. And so she's going to be on sabbatical until further notice. But nevertheless, we still have a powerhouse. Lady C is very well qualified. She's going to now be our lead-in co-host. And let me tell you, she's above qualified, and I'm very happy to have her. And having said that, let me just go ahead and bring in Lady C at this time, our powerhouse and our new lead-in co-host. Lady C, welcome to the broadcast tonight, and you're our closer as well.
Yes, I am. And I am glad that, you know, I am now one of the lead hosts, and I truly hope I make you guys proud, and I am definitely looking forward to tonight's show.
Oh, excellent. And if you want to be able, any of you all want to speak to the issue tonight, as always, you want to call in at least 5 to 7 minutes, you know, usually 7 minutes before the show starts. You want to press 1 so that we'll be ensured to get you in that queue. You press 1 early enough so that you'll have an opportunity to speak to our issues. We're going to go ahead and invite the presence of the Lord into our program tonight. Tonight is our spiritual program. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us day in and day out, even the protections that you give us that we're not even aware of. We invite you into tonight's broadcast. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. So having said that, Lady C, let me just start out by saying, you know, that tonight's topic is, it's a question. Is God trying to get the world's attention through COVID-19? And we go beyond that and say, if so, if that's the case, then what is it that he's after? What are your thoughts on that? First of all, you think he's trying to get the world's attention? Is this the way? I mean, who knows what the mind of God is going to do?
Yes, I think he is trying to get our attention, you know. He's after our hearts, you know. And think about it, you know, during the Egyptians, when God tried to remove those Egyptians, not the Egyptians, the Jews, I think it was the Jews or the people from Jerusalem from out of Egypt, God started sending all these types of locusts and things because he was trying to get the Pharaoh's attention. And I think right now that's what God's doing. He's trying to get us our attention to push us in the direction he needs to have us in and to the direction he needs America and the world to go in. So, yes, I think he's trying to get our attention.
That's an excellent thought. We're going to go to the phone lines early tonight. Let's go to 305-773. Good evening and welcome. Who do we have with us? And welcome to the broadcast this evening. 305-773.
Yes, this is Miss Ann.
Miss Ann, thank you for joining us. Miss Ann, yes, we can hear you loud and clear. Miss Ann, what are your thoughts? Do you think God is trying to get the world's attention?
Well, it's a little challenging for me to answer that question. Because I feel that as long as we are open to God, you know, God has our attention. I have a little bit of a different way of looking at things, and it is a little bit challenging for me to respond directly to that question in the way that you're asking. But I believe that as long as we are in tune with God, then the attention is there. And whatever is supposed to happen, when we are in tune, it will happen. And there's nothing that we can do about it.
Okay, so in your opinion, God didn't need to send COVID-19 or allow, I should say it that way, God didn't need to allow COVID-19 because
exactly.
It's not all of us whose attention. I mean, if that were the case, I mean, could he be sending this? Could he allow this to put people into a fear, sort of a state of fear? You know,
I don't think it's something that God does. I think this is something that man has created. And maybe I shouldn't use the word create, but that man has invited into existence.
Mm.
And yeah, that might be a more accurate way of expressing my thought. And in my opinion, you know, it's just not God's doing. In my opinion, God always does what I call good. And, you know, I guess it depends on how people look at the whole COVID situation. There's so many different angles, so many different ways to look at it. Because
right.
There have been some negatives coming out of it. And oddly and strangely, as it sounds, some positives have come out of it too.
Oh, all right. Miss Ann, we're going to ask you to stand by. We appreciate your thoughts. And, of course, we respect everybody's comments when they present them. So thank you for sharing that. We're going to ask you to stand by. Tonight, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is God trying to get the world's attention through COVID-19? Lady C, let me bring you back in for a moment. And if any of you all want to speak to this issue, by all means, press 1 on your dial. Give us your thoughts. We're not saying whether it's right or wrong. We certainly respect it, and we're just having a discussion here. It was something interesting that Ms. Ann said, and that was basically that, God doesn't have to do this, and I'm paraphrasing perhaps, to get our attention. I mean, otherwise it would seem like he may be sending out a state of fear if he's allowing this, but he didn't give us the spirit of fear. So, if you've got a scripture, we would love to hear your scripture at this time. and your elaboration or interpretation of that scripture.
You know, I do. I have Exodus. I have, no, I'm not even going to say Exodus. I have 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal the land. You know, my interpretation of that will be, you know, God is always listening to us and he already knows our needs, you know. So we need to stop worrying and humble ourselves in our thoughts and go with him, because God is the creator of all things and the creator of all things, and he is a healer of all things. So we don't need to really worry, you know. We just need to enjoy our life and enjoy, you know, the blessing he has given us.
All right, so now we have some people who, it seems that there are a number of people, and I know several of these people who seem to be in a state of panic, that they're rushing out. I was just somewhere yesterday. I stopped by one of the local emergency rooms just visiting. Had an opportunity to go by, and this woman, she came in, and she says, I'm 75 years old. I'm in Florida. We're doing a show from North Florida. And she came in and she says, I'm 75 years old, and I have body aches and everything, walking rather healthy. And she said, I want to know if I can get the COVID vaccine. She says, I'm coming from Georgia, and I'm only going to be here for a few days. And it was interesting because the person who waited on her said, well, we'll take your temperature. She didn't have a fever, and she didn't have any of the symptoms. She just said that she had the body aches. And he said, well, even if you had it, we would send you back home. But it appeared later he came and he started talking with me, and he said, you know, a lot of people from out of town are coming to Florida because they feel that they can get that vaccine faster than they could in their own jurisdiction. And I thought that that was quite interesting, that, you know, people are in this, and there's a number of people in this state of fear, in this state of panic. And God did not give us the state of fear. He did not give us fear. He gave us the spirit of love. And I love what your scripture says, that if my people would turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their nation. And so I believe that the ones who, those of us who call upon him, and those of us who stay in communication with him, I believe that, that he protects us all. And yet at the same time, I believe that even if one of the believers contracted COVID and if they did pass away, then we still have to rely on the fact that the scripture says all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Lady C, any other thoughts on that? Any other thoughts on that? We would love to hear from you all. Press 1 on your dial. Tell us what you're thinking. You know,
I do still stand by what I said. I do believe that God is trying to get our attention. And I do, you know, agree with the caller as well that, you know, this virus is man-made. I do agree with her on that 100% because, you know, I do believe that is man-made. But I do believe, you know, God is the creator of this disease too, because God is the creator of our minds. He's creator of everything above and below. And I do believe he is trying to get this disease to call us back home. And I also agree with you.
No, go ahead. You also agree.
And I also agree with you as well, Dr. Walker, where you said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. And no, he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We have to we have to keep our mind humble and on God, and allow him to allow this corona to take course. Because at the end, it's going to die out. Everything is going to eventually get to normal.
Okay, Lindsay, I need some clarity on something you said. You say that you agree that man, you agree with the previous caller that God, that man created this virus, And, of course, you're exercising your opinion here, as well as the caller did. And then you say you believe also that God created the virus. So I'm kind of confused here. Is it man that created it or God created it?
In my opinion, it's both. I believe it's both, you know. I believe it's both because, you know, I believe God allowed the virus to come, you know, and
okay,
he used man to create it.
Okay, so maybe God allowed it, allowed man, if we go with that. But does God need man to co-create with him? Probably not, huh?
Yeah, I mean, no, but I believe he did, you know, I believe he used it. I mean, I feel like he allowed it.
He didn't co-create it with man. Perhaps he allowed it, if man did create it, he allowed it to come into existence. Because remember now, as last
week
we
mentioned. Yes, he allowed it to come into existence.
Right.
I agree with
right.
you on that one.
Right, right. So because, you know, so if that's the case, and I remember when we talked last week and we were mentioning things like, would God send us into temptation? Would God send evil our way? Would God do these things to us? And then we start to look and say, well, God put a tree in the Garden of Eden to test Adam and Eve, you know, his creation. And they failed the test. But God didn't abandon them. He created a plan of salvation for them. What are your thoughts on that? Was it there? In other words, we're going to stick with the subject tonight of COVID-19. Is God trying to get the world's attention? Maybe, you know, the question becomes, what was it all about to place a tree in the Garden of Eden to test the creation? I'm just wondering about that. And we're going to have a show specifically on that one that's forthcoming. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, to be honest with you, you know, I can't even really give you any thoughts on that one due to the fact, you know, the temptation has always been here, and God has
uh-huh.
given us a choice, you know?
Right.
When he told Adam and Eve not to eat from that tree, when
right.
Eve decided that she was going to do it anyway, he
right.
gave Eve a choice, and she failed at it. And what happened
yeah.
is she went to Adam and caused Adam to fail too,
right.
you know?
Right, right. So, you know, we're going to look at, and we got a show coming up, you know, I mean, who knows the mind of God? You know, I mean, it's almost like, well, God, you knew that they were going to fail, but yet there was a tree there. Could it have been, I think that that has a lot to do with the free will and perhaps other worlds watching to see that free will, here's what can happen. In this type of situation, I don't know. I doubt very seriously if the other worlds are robotic. They may have exercise of free will as well. But when sin enters our world, then that's where decay sets in. That's where death sets in, because that's what the scripture tells us. You're listening live to your one-hour inspiration program, which is going to be 90 minutes tonight. Tonight we're talking about, is God trying to get the world's attention through COVID-19. If so, what? You know, and that what becomes, what is God trying to do? And as we said, Lady C is saying, he's trying to call us back home. I think that if we count on him, yes, COVID is out there, but also 102, almost 103 years ago, they had Spanish flu, which took out millions of people. And yet, they were probably thinking like, the people of modern times today are thinking, did God allow this? Was it God trying to get the world's attention? Certainly he's getting a lot of people's attention. And Lady C, let me ask you, but let me, before I go to you, Lady C, let me go back to Ms. Ann. Ms. Ann, let me ask you the question. Do you think that a lot of people have become maybe more spiritually inclined since COVID-19, in your opinion, Ms. Ann?
That would be another hard question for me to answer.
Okay, well, let me just ask you about you yourself. It's kind of a yes or a no for this question. Have you found yourself being more spiritually inclined since COVID-19? You know, just you, yourself, or you're just the same as you've always been?
I think when these kinds of situations arise, if you are a person of faith, you can't help but to turn to your faith for some answers, for some clarity about what you're experiencing. So I guess I would say yes. And I think that would happen in any challenging situation, you know, that I'm experiencing.
So the answer to that question is you have personally found yourself being more inclined spiritually. Is that what I'm hearing you say? Yes or no?
Not necessarily more inclined, but just as any challenge comes up in my life, my natural response is to turn within for answers. Do you understand what I mean?
Well, I'm hearing what you're saying, but when you say turn within, you're looking for the answers to come from within you. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, when I say within, I mean spirit. Spirit.
What spirit? A spirit
that's
outside of you or the spirit within you? The spirit within you? Is that what you're saying? What spirit are you talking about? A spirit that just outside in the world or a spirit within you?
Dr. Walker, that is a whole big, long conversation for me, too.
Okay. All right. Ms. Ann, we're going to ask you to stand by. Thank you. Wow, that's interesting. So now, as we look, we talk about COVID-19. Something clearly is going on. Something clearly is going on around the world. And, you know, it's just not something that's affecting the United States of America. It's something that's affecting the entire world. And I think I can even say for me, if I'm asked that question that I just posed to Ms. Ann, have I found myself more spiritually inclined? And I would say yes. I have become more spiritually inclined in terms of looking inward to see within that inner spirit, to connect with God, to see, well, God, what are my shortcomings? What is it that I'm doing? What is it that I need to do? You know, what is it that I need to do, you know, to become more spiritually inclined? You know, what are my shortcomings? And that's what I mean in asking the question. Lady C, let me bring you in and ask you, have you found yourself being more spiritually inclined and wanting to know, well, God, is it something that I need to be doing? Is it something, a calling that you place upon me? Any of that? Have you found yourself doing any of that, Lady C?
Yes. You know, I do. You know, I talk to God all the time. So, yes, I have noticed that, you know, my faith, of course, I mean, my faith has always been strong in God. But I know I have asked him, you know, things like, hey, Lord Jesus, show me what to do. Am I here now to just speak life into somebody who's battling COVID? Because I have noticed that a lot of people that at my job, I deal with a lot of the public. So I have noticed that I have a lot of people that come to me that has lost their homes, that has lost their jobs, and they're breaking down. And I'm like, no. We're not going to cry. We are going to live through this, because you may be down today, but you might be up, you know, tomorrow. You know, it's of me coming in them, and just I feel like God uses me to speak life into these customers, you know? So, yes, it has brought my faith closer to God.
Okay, and you know, and that to me is.
Wait, we can't hear you.
Okay. How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. Thank you. That to me is more understandable because it's like, okay, what is going on? We're in a state of not necessarily panic, but we're in a state of uncertainty where we're trying, even our scientific world is trying to figure out what's going on. And so, you know, we've got people who are spiritually inclined, you know, thinking, and you've got the scientific world, and I'm not suggesting or inferring that they're not also looking at this, you know, whether it's spiritual, something spiritual or not. I like the scripture you read where God sent the plagues, you know, upon, you know, to Pharaoh because his heart became ultimately hardened by God because he just wouldn't let the people go. And so, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can take place, and we don't know. I mean, even those of us who say we're spiritually inclined, we're searching. We're searching. And we're searching within our spirit, within the spirit that God has given us, his breath, you know, and our spirit person, who I believe we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And we're trying to just kind of like, well, God, what is this all about? If you are trying to get our attention, what is it that you want us to do? Are we supposed to be out there telling more people about you? Are we supposed to be your witnesses? What are we supposed to be doing? And so that's what comes in mind. All right, we're talking about tonight's topic. Is God trying to get the world's attention through COVID-19? I mean, we can look and we can speculate, but you know what? Maybe we just don't know. There's a lot that we just don't know. You know, but I tell you one thing. I believe that the greater power, the creator, will not allow the world to be destroyed by this virus. I just don't believe that. I believe, just like you said, Lady C, that we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. You know, some way, just like they got through the Spanish flu of 1917 or 1918, we're going to get through this. And God is going to see us through it. Is that your faith and that's your hope as well, Lady C?
That is my faith. That is my hope. And that's because, you know, and I feel like I do know it because you know why? I'm speaking it into existence. You know? I'm speaking it into existence. I'm saying we're going to get over this. You know, everything is going to go back to normal. It's going to be like the regular flu. You know, the regular flu was, I mean, it takes out people every year, lots and lots of people every year. It's going to be just like it, but it is going to die down.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I like that. You said earlier on your job, as I've gotten to know you, you bring a very positive attitude to on this radio show and obviously to people on your job. Do you think that could be part of your calling?
I do know that's part of my calling because I'm not going to lie to you. I have gotten so many people to call my official and tell them, you know, give my official so many great news about me. And a lot of stuff she tells me that they said, I've said it to them. And they always, I mean, they always praising me with my higher official. So what I'm saying to them is working. It's bringing their spirit from being so torn down from this COVID-19 to making them see that there's going to be a light at the end of this tunnel.
Hey, awesome, awesome, awesome. I like how you're doing that. Then I'm going to shift gears just slightly here, and I'm going to bring in, you know, sometimes on our Friday night broadcast we do another segment of our topic. And now, even though we've got COVID-19 going on, I'm going to pose a question out there, and the question becomes, how do you know that God loves you? How do you know that God loves you? And I can certainly, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on how do I know that God loves me? And we want to hear from you all. How do you know, if you have a testimony that says, the reason I know that God loves me because this happened for you. How do you know? For example, ladies, see, I can say, I know that God loves me because he gave me life. You know, he gave me life. And that's how I know he loves me. I know he loves me because he wakes me up every day. I know he loves me because he has provided such a beautiful world for me and others. Lady C, what would you say? If you all have something out there, how do you know that God loves you? You know how people say to you when you're going through something, just remember, God loves you. How do you know that God loves you, Lady C?
God loved me because he has given me my heart's desire. He's given me my two children. You know, before I had my children, I used to pray to God for years to give me them. You know, and everybody around me was having babies left and right. And it's just that I was just not becoming pregnant at all.
Right.
To where I started losing hope. And I started just saying, you know what, it's not it for me. It's not it for me. It's not going to happen for me. And one day God sent me a dream letting me know that you are going to have a baby. In my dream, God said that there was going to be a true pregnancy and there was going to be a false pregnancy, you know? And one day my sister found out she was pregnant, and I felt like it killed my spirit a little bit. But then I looked at it, and God kept reminding me, saying that what he said in my dream kept reminding me that it's going to be a true pregnancy and that was going to be a false pregnancy. And all of a sudden, my sister went to the hospital to get that blood pregnancy test, and that turned out it was a false pregnancy.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, it ended up being me that was pregnant. Okay?
Wow.
So, So God gave me my heart's desire, and he sent it to me in a dream. And it wasn't within that month, 2 months of a time frame. It was with, I don't even know if it was a year or two earlier, but that dream stuck with me. So, yes.
Okay, excellent. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to phone line again. Let's go to 561-452. It's a caller there.
She was like a sacrifice right there for her.
All right, family, she's listening online. Family, she's listening online. So as we're looking here, how do you know that God loves you? We want to hear from you all and just tell us what your thoughts are on how you know that God loves you. You know, for God, I know another way also that God to show his love for us, because John 3:16. For God so loved the world, and you know the scripture, you all know it, that he gave his only begotten son. You know, that's how God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. And so that's another way that we know how God loves us. So, you know, we can't forget these things. And then when we have doubt, you know, one of the things that keeps me upbeat is when I know that if I get down, and I know that there's a creator. I know that there's a creator. And the way that I know that he's omniscient is because he's in everything. His breath, when he breathed into Adam's nostrils, everything was there. And so he's there with us through everything. And so when I know that there's the planet, how everything is created, and I may not know how it's created, but I know that it's there, and I'm able to see things, and I'm able to study science to the greater things out there, the galaxies and the planets, then there has to be something that puts something so supernatural that it's really beyond comprehension, but it happened. It happened. All right, we're trying to find out. And so that's another format for me to know that God loves me. All right, let's go to 561 West Palm Beach, 396. Welcome to your one-hour inspiration program. Who do we have with us? And welcome.
Good night, Dr. Jesse. Good night, everyone. This is Beverly from Lake Worth, Florida.
Beverly from Lake Worth. Thank you for joining us, Beverly. Beverly, how do you know that God loves you?
Well, you know, I'm going to give a short testimony about I know God loved me a long time ago, but, you know, I went through from 2013 till 2020, I went through a very, very, very rough season. And it never dawned on me until 2 days ago when my sister in New Jersey said to me, you know, if it wasn't God, you know, if it wasn't God, you know, you would not come back from where you was, you know, in a Jamaican talk. And, you know, I said to her, I said, you know, when people said, had it not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would have been. I got that testimony. I know all that I was going through, that God loved me. And, you know, it was my own, I created that own mess for myself. But even though I was going through, I still deep down within me know that God was with me every step of the way. Because even though I was almost homeless, I was never homeless. And even though I was hungry sometimes, there was still food there. I was hungry enough one time when I look in my closet, all I had left was 2 cans of spaghetti sauce. And I heard the Spirit said to me, use those sauce and make it soup. And I put them together and I made soup for 3 days. That's all I know, God loved me. And now I see bit by bit, little by little, moment by moment, the Lord is blessing me. I know God loves me. There's no doubt in my heart and mind that God loves me.
Okay, Beverly, we appreciate you sharing that with us. So, you know, I'm going to transition a little bit more because we're talking about, even through COVID-19, God loves mm-hmm. us all. And, you know, now we're asking the question, how do we know that God loves us? But let me take it a step further, and I want to hear from the rest of you all out here tonight as well. Press 1, and perhaps you can shed some light on these thoughts as well. And that becomes now, as God loves us, and he puts us in a position to be a blessing to others, are we being a blessing to others, or we're hoarding all of God's love to ourselves and not being a blessing? In other words, are we sharing? Are we caring? Are we showing that we're concerned about our fellow man and woman? Beverly, let me begin with you and ask that question. Do you feel that you're really, really, even during COVID, where we're practicing social distancing, are we doing anything to really say, well, I'm trying to help somebody else, you know, in my walk of this life?
Well, that's one of my plans on my vision board since 2018. My vision is to open homeless shelters and food kitchens all across America and Jamaica. And I remember about 2 weeks ago, I went to visit my grandchildren. And on my way back, I saw this guy at the end of the street. And I said, oh, my God, I wish I had some change to give him. All I had in my bag was $20. And I went up all the way on Palm Beach Lakes and turned around by the mall and went back down. And I had no mask on, and the guy had no mask on. And I went and I pulled up to him and I gave him the money, and he just yelled out right in my face, thank you, ma'am. And I said, you are welcome. And after, when I drove up, something said to me, oh, my God, I didn't have a mask. That guy didn't have a mask. But that's 2 weeks ago, and the Lord has kept me safe. So I am doing what I have to do, showing love. I'm not going to stop showing love.
Okay, all right. And see, that's what we want to hear. Are we doing our part out here, even during COVID-19, where we're practicing social distancing, are we trying to do our part to help other people? Lady C, let me bring you in. Beverly, we're going to ask you to stand by. Lady C, let me bring you in and ask that question. And before you respond, I want to say that, yes, I'm doing my part. And I too, just like Beverly said, I have wanted to be a philanthropist since the time I was a little boy, and I learned what a philanthropist was. And certainly to this day, yes, I am helping wherever I can, whether that's picking up the phone to encourage someone, whether that's through my projects during Thanksgiving, Christmas, and we're going to be trying to do something every month, to get with people to not only provide resources, but also provide some type of economic relief for people during these times. So, Lady C, I mean, and I heard what Beverly said. I presented what I'm doing. And, Lady C, let me just ask you, what is your contribution out here? What is your contribution or to help others? And I've heard you before, but for our listening audience that may be thinking this inwardly, what's your contribution?
Well, my contribution is always just most likely encouraging and uplifting people. You know, that's what mainly my contribution is. You know, even when I'm in public outside of my job, I'm still uplifting people and being there for them whenever they need me, wherever they need me most.
Right, right, right. Okay, so now, Beverly, let me bring you back in, and let's just say if a family, let's say a woman comes to you, a single parent, and she's lost her job, you're down to your $20, and she's, her pride keeps her from saying anything. She just say, well, you know, I haven't eaten anything in the last 2 days, and, you know, because I'm out of work. And this happened to be somebody, a complete stranger to you. Do you, I'm just looking and asking this question, the human element. You don't know the lady. She's a complete stranger. And she just comes up to you and says, you know, miss, can I just get a couple of dollars from you? I haven't eaten anything. You're down to your last $20, and it's a $20 bill. It's a $20 bill. You don't even have singles. So what do you do? What do you do? You don't know the lady, and you're not sure if she's telling the truth or not. What do you do, Beverly, in a case like that?
I would give it to her. I just said it. I gave that guy that $120 I had in my bag 2 weeks ago, and
right.
I remember when that lady met me at Publix, and she came to me, and then she didn't have any mask. I didn't have any mask on either. I don't know how the coincidence, but when she came and she told me they were in a shelter, she had her two children and everything, and all I had in my bag, all I had on me at the time was $5. And I said, oh, my God, I wish I had more money to give you. But I gave her the $5. I wanted to give her a hug, but, you know, it's human. I was thinking, if I give this lady a hug, I don't know. She's out there, you know, because she was down on 6th Avenue where they had the all those tents. And I said, oh, my God, I wanted to give that lady a hug so badly, but I just didn't do it. And I think it was fair. It wasn't that I didn't love her. I loved her. And I told her, I said, you know, I was at the place where you were. Maybe I wasn't as bad as you were, but I know that God can help you. And she said, how did you do it? And I said, just keep believing.
Wow!
So I've given my money. I you know, money is nothing, because the Lord said if we give, He will give back to us, and God is not slack concerning His promise. I have no problem giving.
Wow, that is very interesting. Very interesting, Lady C. Let me ask you, and then Ms. Ann perhaps will bring you back in and ask the same question. You're down. You only got a $20 bill. This lady is a complete stranger, and you suspect that she may not be telling the truth. Do you give up your last $20 bill when you really wanted something out of that store? You don't have any change, but you haven't made it to the store yet to even get change. And this lady comes up, let's say, to your window, your car window, and she's holding up one of these signs. What do you do, Lady C?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, because you said I suspect she's not telling the truth. Okay,
right.
Here in the county I live in, you know,
right.
We have a lot of resource programs for homeless people, mothers, children who feed the homeless, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, bathe them, I mean, clothe them, make sure they have a shower, make sure they have a bed. They have those resources. So I'm going to be honest with you, it's for money. Now, here in my county, I would say, no, because I know there's the resources out there, and the resources are throughout the whole night, not just at that time, not just from 8 to 5. You know, now when I lived in North Carolina, and when I lived in Georgia, it was a different story for me. I've had, you know, I go to McDonald's. They used to have people there, kids asking for money. I would be right there to give whatever I had, you know, to them, those children. I even had, you know, homeless men would be walking down the street, and they're like, hey, I just need food. I gave them the money, or I went and bought them food, because you know why? Those places didn't have the resources, as much resources as they do where I live at now. They didn't. So, yes, in North Carolina, Georgia, I gave it all the time. here, I not so much, because I know that the resources are open 24 hours.
Right, and that's a very interesting perspective as well. Ms. Ann, let's bring you back in. Ms. Ann, you're down to your last 20. I mean, what would you do?
Well, I know exactly what I would do. And it may be a different thing depending on the situation and the moment that I'm in. But whatever the situation was and whatever the moment was where I might have had that $20 and someone who appeared to be homeless seemed to be in need of it, I would have to take a moment to be in tune with the voice of God and do what I felt led to do in that moment. So for me, it's not just a one answer, one blanket answer. It depends on how I felt that I was being led in that moment.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Ms. Ann. Yeah, let me ask you this. Have you ever been at a point in your life where, you know, as you analyze things, but have you ever been at a point in your life where you needed the help from somebody else? And if so, how did you approach them? First of all, let me start by asking you, have you ever been in a position where you needed somebody to help you?
I have been in a position where I have needed help for most of my life, most of my adult life.
Okay.
So
have you ever
humbled
yourself to ask anybody for help?
Family, yes. My family.
Okay, so
they have always
been there for you? Your family has always been there for you?
If they could. I mean, it wasn't every single time, but, you know, if they could, they would, and vice versa.
So the times they couldn't be there for you, the times that they may not have been available for you, what did you do, if anything?
I did without, and I knew that God would provide what I needed, and if I didn't have it, my interpretation of that would be, well, I must not really need it, because I believe that God provides always for all of our needs.
So was there a time, let me ask you this, was there a time ever in your life that you were really hungry and you didn't know where that next meal was going to come from? And you and your children, let's just say your children.
Yes, there have been times.
Have you all gone more than 2 days without eating anything?
No, I've never gone a day without eating. But I've had many days where food was in low supply, you know. And I've also worked with the homeless as a mental health counselor and marriage and family therapist. And I, you know, before working with the homeless, I had a certain idea about what homeless people were like. And after working with them, I learned a whole lot about homeless people. And I think I mostly learned that they are just like me and everybody else. And many of them just made some
different choices,
unfortunate,
of course, right?
Decisions. Right. They made certain decisions that got them in that position. And I don't like to judge the decision, because a person may be in a state of homelessness to learn a lesson. And in learning that lesson, that may be a $1 billion reward. But look at Tyler Perry, who was living in his car at one time. And he is probably a billionaire now. If not a billionaire, he's a mega millionaire.
Right.
So
let me ask you this question. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I want to go back and I want to ask you a question, and pardon me for staying with you so long, but I want to ask this question because our audience is listening to this, and I want to know, so if you are down to your last $20 bill and the woman comes up to your car, you're saying it depends on the mood that God puts you in at that point on whether to give that to that woman or not. Is that what I'm hearing? So
I don't define it as a mood. I wouldn't call it a mood. It doesn't depend on the mood. I might not want to give that money. And
yeah, but I'm going by the word you used earlier. You said your mood. It depends on what mood I'm in. So I'm going by the word you used.
Okay, no, not mood like that. I may be feeling very angry and selfish at that moment. But at the same time, I may be feeling very impressed that, you know, that the Spirit is telling me to give this money to this person. And I hope that I would listen to the Spirit and give the money.
Okay. All right. But isn't that a mood? Isn't that a mood? I mean, it's an emotion. It's a mood.
That's not a mood. That's not an emotion. Not for me. That is not my.
Okay. All right. I get it. I understand. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Orlando 407-862. You're live on your one-hour inspirational program. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
This is Marva.
Marva, thank you for joining us. Marva, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts, Marva? Does God love you? And if you could be a blessing to somebody else, would you be a blessing to somebody else?
Absolutely. I've been doing it for so long that it's second nature to me. In Matthew chapter 5, after Jesus taught the Beatitudes, blessed are ye, blessed, blessed, blessed. In chapter 40 of Matthew 5, he says, and if any man shall will sue thee and at the law and take away your coat, and let him have your cloak also.
Right.
And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain, which is twice the distance. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away.
Okay.
So there's the answer. There's your answer. Bless them that bless you, curse those few, and do good to them that hate you. So the Lord is making it so clear. He doesn't say if you have your last penny and they ask you, you should. He says, give to him that ask of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn him not away. And also, I think a little further down, he talks about if someone worked for you that day, pay him that day. If you have the money, don't let him go home. Tell him to go home and come back for it.
Right.
You need to pay him right then. So that's the heart we have to have all the time. I had a family member who would ask me for money all the time. Here I am raising my kid by myself, and this family member would ask me to do more than, you know, $20. $20. And I was like, why do I have to always help this person? Why? And everybody tell me, oh, you're so stupid. You're always helping that person. So the time came when this person asked me to do a really big job, like helping them with their citizenship, with their green card. And that was more than I could manage. I have to tell you, it was very distressing. I cried because I realized that I can't say no and I can't say yes. So I prayed and I asked God, I said, what should I do? And why does this person turn to me all the time? Isn't there somebody else in the family that can help? And this is the scripture that came to me. I was directed to this scripture. To give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. And so I did. I went all the way, paid all what needed to be paid for the citizenship thing. And lo and behold, I have found in this person the most beautiful counselor in my life. Calm person, comforting person, a stalwart, so to speak. I didn't get any money back, but I found a person as good as my father, a person that I could depend on. If I say, could you please do so and so? Absolutely. So it's not always about getting back your $20.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let me ask you, Marva, let me ask you this question. Yes, and I agree with you. I certainly agree with you because I want to believe that that's the heart that I have. I mean, I've given so much over the years, even in terms of money, my time, advice, counsel. And let me tell you something. When I'm giving, oftentimes, I have no expectancy of the person that I'm giving to bless me back. I just have this thing about my nature is to give and to be a cheerful giver at that. And I have discovered that in doing so, God has not only blessed me beyond measure, but my children are blessed as a result of that as well. So I want to ask you something. I want to ask you a question about, let's say, a mood. If do you find yourself that you have to be in a certain mood to give? You know, a mood. It depends on, does it have to be that God has to direct you to be in a certain mood, or is that supposed to be our lifestyle of how we're supposed to do things? He that ask of you, given to him, and beyond measure. So when we talk about a mood, should you, even if you're angry, should you still, if somebody is hungry, would you still give them even though you're angry and you have the means to do so?
Yes, my mood has, I have not allowed my mood to deter me from from giving.
I get it.
If someone comes up to my window, I'll reach in my purse. If it's my last $4, I'll give it to them. If it's my last $1, I'll give it to them. Because either someone's going to give me something or I won't need it at all. I won't need to have, you know. And so that's basically how I've lived my life. I remember when I first went to college and I was sitting in the dormitory. And a young lady walked in, and it was dinner time. And I knew that she was new because I was there on campus before, and I hadn't seen her. And I saw her walking with her head down, talking to herself. So I said, hi, I introduced myself, and what was wrong? Make a long story short, she said she got in late and was not able to pick up her a food card. You know, you had a money card that you take to the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she said that. Immediately I took mine out and gave it to her. I just did that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we're friends now. 40 years later, we're still friends.
I
never asked her back for it.
Right. You are blessing so many of our listeners tonight with what you're saying, because God loves a cheerful giver. And that's, some people wonder why they don't have, and I'm not saying that I have all the answers on this show, and of course I don't, but I can only tell people basically my experience and some stuff coupled with my training over the years, and my part of that experience is my counsel over the years and my receiving counsel over the years. And I can tell you, some people wonder why they don't have more economically. And I just strongly believe it's because they hoard what they have. They don't, they become so selfish, and they're not free will givers. They're like, oh no, I'm not giving this up to anyone. You know, I gotta look out for myself. And that self-preservation, there's nothing wrong with looking out for yourself first, but not, in my opinion, not to the extremity that we're like, we can't help anybody else. And my help goes beyond my immediate family. And I'm telling you, when you do that without an expectation that, oh, you got to have a resume of what you've done, I don't believe God is pleased with that. You know, nobody wants to hear that oh, by the way, I've done this for you. I've done that for you. I've done this for you. I've done that for you. It's like you're doing it to keep, if you're doing it to keep record and score, then you're not giving freely. You're not giving freely.
No.
And that's what God is not pleased with. We're going to ask you to stand by. Marva, we certainly appreciate your blessing. Let's go to the phone lines once again.
Thank
Let's go to 614-360. 614-360. Who do we have? And welcome.
Hi, my name is Elishaba. How are you doing tonight?
Elishaba, we're doing good. How are you?
Great, great. I have a question for you. You are a doctor, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, very great. What is your standpoint or your final analysis on the COVID-19? Because I'm looking at your headline on your radio show tonight, and you say, now what? That, you know, is God trying to get our attention? So what is your final analysis as a medical term? And I'm going to give you
mine. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a doctor of I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a doctor of psychology. Yes.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Right. So I may not be able to answer if it's a medical question. I can't answer that.
Okay.
But I can give you an opinion on from my psychology perspective.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Thanks. Okay, so what was
it? Is it okay if I give you my analysis on the spiritual perspective after that?
Yeah, why don't you give us that first?
Okay. I am a prophet. You know, of the
What's
God
your name?
Abraham.
What's your name, ma'am? I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
My name is Elishaba.
Elishaba. Okay, Elishaba.
No. Elishaba, yes, exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. I am a prophet of the God of Israel. Do you know who that is?
Yes, I've heard that expression before.
Okay. And he told me, the God of Israel told me, in 2019, that millions would die from the COVID-19, not only COVID-19, millions would die, period, in 2020.
Right.
In 2020. He said millions would die, and I made a radio broadcast of that, and I told everybody. And that's exactly what's going on. But me, as a prophet, I know why millions are dying, not only from COVID, from all kind of death, destruction, suicide, mental illness, gun, all kind of stuff, people are dying. Am I right?
Well, absolutely. Every day people are dying from various things. It can be car accidents. It can be illnesses.
Yeah.
It can be almost anything. But, yeah, millions of people are dying. It didn't take COVID-19 to tell us that.
Yeah, and he told me that 2020 would go down in history like no other year on earth.
Okay.
That's been,
all right.
Yeah, he told me that in 2019, in September of 2019.
All right.
And I read the news article yesterday. It say the news article say that 2020 is the, they've never seen a year like 2020. So just to confirm what the God of Israel is doing, he wants everybody to turn away from all the religions, all the idols, all the adultery, and all the false gods that's in this earth, and turn to the real God and leave all the false gods alone and all the idolatry, because it's actually things that he put in this earth for us to do that we are not doing. So that's why he's so upset and angry. He want to kill everybody and hurt everybody right now.
Wait, you say he want to kill everybody and hurt everybody?
Yeah. Not everybody, 90%. Only 90%.
But you're telling me that the God of love is willing to kill everybody, not everybody, but 90% of the people on this earth?
Yes, that's what the
okay.
Bible says.
All
prophecy.
Right.
It's prophecy.
Okay.
You got to understand the prophecy and where we are
okay.
in the prophetic. You know,
I
you got to understand
it's,
the prophetic, what's
right.
going on right now. Yes.
We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 305-769. Welcome to your one-hour inspiration program. We're running out of time. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Good evening. Hi, this is Ms. Augustine. How everybody
Ms.
doing?
Ms. Augustine, thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you so very much. Did you have a thought, Ms. Augustine?
I came on late because I was on my own prayer line, so I'm not quite sure. I heard you talk about giving, and you was asking if giving, if you do it because of a mood, or you're a cheerful giver. I can speak for myself. I am a cheerful giver, you know, and like I have appointments for tomorrow and know that I use special transportation services. So I prepare money that I have ready that as I go to give. And I give to the driver. I give to people who come in contact with me, and I give. And I give because I'm a giver. And it has nothing to do with a mood that I'm in. It's just I just love to give.
Right. And you find your blessings in giving, I mean, just part of your lifestyle, right?
Giving is a part of my lifestyle. My son is trying to block it, but even with him blocking the amount that I used to be able to give because I can't get my hands on it, but it's a part of me that is in me. Is in me.
I got you. Okay. Ms. Augustine, we're going to ask you to stand by. Lady C, just before I bring you back in, I just want to know, let our listening audience know that, you know, we respect all of the opinions that come across this broadcast. Whether we agree or disagree, we do not endorse anyone's personal views, no matter how they may see it, whether they agree or disagree with us. So, you know, basically it's just a discussion forum. And we respect everyone's opinions, and we ask the same of them. The program is not designed or created in such a way that we like to present doom and gloom. I want to think that the God I serve is a God of love. I want to think that the God that I serve is a God of peace and wants. I mean, is so proud of his creation and man, his, mankind, his most prized creation, that he's not looking to just, like, you know, annihilate us. I mean, there would have been, in my opinion, no point of creating us if he just wants to completely annihilate us. And we do have, you know, we do have individuals that may, and I'm not saying that that's the case tonight, but we do have doom and gloom messages that come out there. I don't subscribe, me personally, I don't subscribe to that. And I think that that's what keep, because it would create a phobia where you're afraid to do anything, and that borderlines. That's borderline mental illness. And, you know, it doesn't take prophecy to tell us that people are dying every single day. We see that. All you got to do is turn on the television. All you got to do is just be in tune to what's going on in the world. It didn't take COVID-19 to tell anybody that. People die in, you know, people die in car accidents. You know, people die in car accidents. you know, sometimes, I mean, that might not have been foreseen. You know, people die, have illnesses. That's a part of, death is a part of life.
Life.
You know, but to suggest or infer that we have a God that's ready to annihilate the people, what was the purpose of creation? Lady C, let me just bring you in. And, you know, let's get back on that cheerful state of mind where, you know, God is love. God is love. And, yes, he's probably getting our attention through because he's allowed COVID-19. And if that means that, hey, let's have a relationship with him. Let's have a relationship with him. You know, are we perfect? I know that I'm not perfect, but I have a relationship with him. And if you – and give us your thought, and then read for us Exodus 15:26.
Okay, you want me to get – what do you want me to get my thought on?
Yeah, just basically, do you see God as a God of love, even though COVID-19, even though people are dying all over the world every day? I mean, that's – we don't know the afterlife of death. We don't know. It may even be better than what it is now. I mean, you know, we just don't know because nobody's gone there and come back to tell us about it.
I agree with you on that there. You know, we don't know, you know, nobody has came back and told us anything.
No,
but,
they haven't. I mean, it might be so good over there. They're like, I am not going back over there to tell anybody. And God says, well, look, if you look back, like he told Lot, don't look back. If you look back, then you know what? You're subjecting yourself to the fallacy of what lies back there. But then they say, you know what? I'm not looking back. I'm not going back. God, thank you for bringing me into this marvelous light. So give us your thought. And Marvin, we're going to bring you back in a moment.
Okay, I want to say this. I want to say this because, you know, you just made me think of something when you just said that, okay, you know, people never came back there. I'm going to say this. I remember when my mom died. I was having a problem with her death, you know, getting over the death. And it was like God sent her to me in a dream. I do believe God will send people in a dream to let you know everything's okay. Because, like, in my dream, my mom was telling me that everything is okay, that she's fine, she's in a better place, you know. So I do believe God do send people back a little bit to just, you know, give us messages. But as far as Exodus 15:26, it says, he said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Let me tell you what I got on that, my opinion on that?
Yes.
When I read that, I heard protection. You know, God protects
right.
us from the diseases.
Right.
You know,
right.
God protects us. And me, when it comes to COVID-19, we shouldn't worry about it, you know, only because God has shown us favor. There has been a lot of people that have lost jobs and houses and more, meaning lives. But we're still here being blessed with everything we need. So, in the words of Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worry.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, take no thought. It says, actually, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day are the evils thereof. And that's basically it. Marva, let's bring you back in here. Marva, I mean, you know, we're going to have an upcoming show. What God do you serve? I mean, do you see God as a tyrant, or do you see God as someone who is, you know, just a master creator who loves us despite our falls?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Marva.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now loud and clear. Thank you.
Okay. I believe God is love, but he has another name as well. He has another name, the Lord of Sabbath, S-A-B-B-O-A-T-H, Sabbath.
Right.
Meaning
mm-hmm.
an
an army or a host.
Right.
And he declares himself like an eagle. And an eagle is fierce and strong. And we use the eagle. The eagle is on the dollar bill, which represents America. And in one talon on the right, if you look on your dollar bill, you will see olive branch, which means peace. And if you look in the left talon, you'll see arrows, which means war. So you see an eagle is very, very loving to the babies. But they're fierce to anyone who would come near. They'll rip them apart with the talons. And so so is God. And he says that he loves us with a jealous love. And it doesn't mean, it means a possessive love. Like, he's not going to let someone take you away from him. He will fight for you. He'll send legions of angels to help you. So God is not a God to me who is evil and is sin, is trying to annihilate the entire creation. He's against evil. He doesn't like evil. It's against who he is.
Right. Marvin, we appreciate your thought on that. We're running out of time. And I do want to say this part. In terms of the money, the systems of money, you know, the U.S. Treasury, you know, these things that are on our dollars in the United States of America are by design. And they do have meaning. But if you go to, like, when I lived in Europe, they have their money system also. And they have, and those money, their money system is also significant. So when we look on the various, you know, it depends on what country you're in, and you look at their money significance, they have their rationale for putting those symbols on their dollar bills. And part of the U.S. Government, the U.S. Treasury, is designed to minimize, actually, minimize completely that, what do we call it, the false when the dollars are not real. Fake, phony money. Phony, counterfeit. Symbol, counterfeit money, that's it.
Counterfeit
money.
Money.
So,
counterfeit.
Yes, counterfeit money. Yes, so sir. It's all by design. But as I said, the God that
but
we serve, even when when Adam and Eve sinned, he did not annihilate them. Instead, he created a plan of salvation. He already had that in place for them. So, I mean, when we send out doom and gloom messages, which I never even subscribed to, because I asked the question earlier, and I knew that it would come to some of this. How do you know God loves you? And I gave some account of how I know God loves me. And so when we start to look at how God loves you, and I can almost assure you, people who give the doom and gloom messages, and I'm not referring to anyone, but basically if you look at it yourself, these are the people who are probably not as happy or have that happy spirit, the spirit of giving, because they have attracted gloom, doom and gloom into their energy, into their space, into their spirit person. And that is not what God has given us. Lady C, do you think that God, let me go to Ms. Augustine before I go to Lady C. Ms. Augustine, do you think that God is pleased with you having a spirit that you're just fearful all the time, or you're going to be destroyed because you breathe the wrong way?
God don't want us to live with the spirit of fear. He wants us to live with the spirit of love. He wants us to love and have joy. He doesn't want us to be afraid. I don't walk in fear. I walk in faith.
So how about when you hear programs on like ministerial programs that make you feel that everything you do is guilty? that you're a sinner, you're gonna burn in hell.
I changed the channel.
What is that about?
I changed the channel. I don't listen.
Okay.
I really do. I changed the channel.
All right, we're gonna ask you to stand by. Lacey, before I go to you, let's go to 786-319. It's a caller there, 786-319.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Walker, Lady C, and all the callers. I just want to say hello. This is Sister Marjorie.
Sister Marjorie, thank you for joining us.
I'm enjoying the show. I just wanted to say, you know, like, just based on what you're saying, I am a person who loves to give also. I just wanted to share one incident with you. Once I went to a church and I met this man. And, you know, he was talking to me, and I found that he's a minister, but he's a person who, like, sometimes, you know, like, this minute he'll have money, next minute no money, and he's in and out. Sometimes he's homeless, sometimes he's not. But whatever, you know, and he would call me, and this minute he have money, next minute not. And whenever I could help him, I help him. And he's been calling different times, and I said, and one day I said, you know, I've been helping him all along. I've been helping him. And then one day I said, God, you know, he has so much problem and he's been calling me and I'm helping him. I said, Lord, why me? And you know what he said to me? Why not? You know, so I know that God is awesome. And I've been helping him. And whenever I see him, if I see him on the street and if he needs anything, I stop, talk to him, and I'll get him something. So I like to share also. I'm a giver also. You know, I don't like to see anybody want something and I can help, and I don't help them. So it's a blessing, and it comes back to you also.
It comes back. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
So I'm enjoying the show.
Sometimes it comes back tenfold.
Ooh,
well,
yes.
Thank you, Sister Margie.
Yes,
we certainly
welcome.
Do appreciate that. Lady C, let me bring
you're
you
welcome.
In. Let me bring you in, Lady C, and ask a question. You know, do we find that, I mean, do you find that what keeps your motivation up when it comes to your relationship with God? What keeps you on your high, if I may say that?
Prayer.
Yeah. Thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth. Prayer. Prayer. Knowing I could go to him and tell him any and everything, you know, and knowing that he hears me, that he is listening to me. So prayer keeps me moving.
Okay, so when you hear a message of doom and gloom, even with someone presenting something through COVID-19 as doom and gloom, do you resort to prayer, or how do you handle yourself from the negativity around you, whether it's at work, whether it's friends, family, you know, whatever the coworkers, whatever it is, people on the street? How do you, I mean, is it just prayer? But if there's something else that you, and I'm going to share my thoughts on that as well. What keeps you just going and going other than prayer when they're talking negative stuff about COVID-19?
I'm here. I'm healthy. I'm alive. I mean, I still have a job. You know, all of that is because of the grace of God.
Yes.
Amen, amen. And you know what? That is a blessing. That is an absolute blessing because as I think about it, and I'm going to pose the same question to myself, what keeps me going? First of all, it's just like I believe it was Sister Augustine that said, she changed the channel. And I've taught with the school system for a number of years, and I even taught my own kids a certain principle. When you're hearing something that you don't want to entertain into your spirit person, you make certain that you change the channel just like you have a remote control.
Yes.
And I taught them a psychological. I say you put your finger on your head like you're scratching your forehead right there, just touching it. And that's a reminder that you're changing the channel to yourself. You're not disrespecting anyone. And I showed them, I say, if a teacher says something that you don't agree with in a respectful way, you rebuke that in your mind, whether you say it to her or him or not. You rebuke that. You denounce that thing. Don't accept that into your spirit, because what if they think you will never amount to anything? You're just a bad child. You're this, you're that. Don't accept that.
No,
I'm not a bad kid. Because, and you know what? I'm going to tell you something also on the air. You can put people in their place. You can stop them in their tracks. You can stop them cold turkey if you mention God, even in the public school system where they're not even, you know, teachers can't even talk about God. But if that teacher says something and you say in a respectful way, God loves me.
Loves you. Yes.
God loves me. That teacher will leave you alone.
Yes.
That teacher will leave you alone because they don't want to go there with you with God, because now their job could be in jeopardy because they're not supposed to talk about God, you know, in the public school system. You know, so and even ladies, when a man is coming at you, you know, a guy, I'm talking about somebody who's taking you out a few times and he wants to go beyond, when you bring God in, it'll stop him in his tracks every time unless he's, don't nobody want to mess with God. Lady C, let me bring you in. Lady C, have you ever had an experience where you had to bring God into the picture to some man?
To a man? No, but I had to bring God into a picture at a previous job I had, you know.
Oh, you did?
You know, when I was leaving a job, I had to bring God, and I had to, you know, I just had to bring God into the midst and let them know that, you know, if God is for me, who can be against me?
Yes. You know? Absolutely. 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 So, you know, and that has always been my – go ahead. Say it again.
I said, but it wasn't against the man. It was against the woman.
It was against the woman. Okay. Well, that'll work too. That will work too. When you rebuke these things and you let somebody know God loves me, God loves me, it'll stop them in their tracks every time. You know, and I'm telling you, that's what keeps me. I asked Lady C earlier, what keeps her, what gives her her motivation, her inspiration, her drive? And she mentioned she's here. I'm alive. I have a job. And I look up every morning and I wake up that when God allows me to wake up. And when I wake up, it's like I feel like dancing every single morning because this is a new day to celebrate life again, a new day to celebrate life again. And so for the listening audience out there, to know that God loved you even through COVID-19, you know, the fact that you wake up, the fact that you even know ahead of time the symptoms that are coming, the fact that you can go in and go in to start taking safe precautions against the symptoms that come. You almost know when you're catching a cold. Yeah. You can do things to help yourself out. You can practice the social distancing. You know, so we ask, does God love us? He gave us common sense. Is he trying to get our attention through COVID-19?
Yeah.
Even if he is, then what? He's saying, listen, think about these things. Just slow down. He's allowed the world to slow down. Use this time, I say to all of us. Use this time for ourselves, you know, to look and say, maybe it's a time to spend more time with my family. Maybe I can reach out instead of hurrying throughout the world like the world does. Is God trying to get the world's attention? I believe so. You know, I believe so, because even if God, the fact that he's allowed this, all things work together for the good. Even if man created this, whatever the enemy sent out there for bad, God will turn this thing around for our good. Listen, we're out of time. You will definitely want to join us here next Thursday for the Dr. S. Walk Show. We've got a great show planned for you, and then that's going to be followed by next Friday night and then next Saturday morning. We got a very special speaker, 6:30, 8:30. You don't want to miss that. We're about to close out now with our topic tonight. And, Lady C, we're going to let you bring us home and close us out with tonight's topic. Go ahead, Lady C.
Okay. I found a scripture here to close you guys out with when it comes to COVID-19. Psalms 91:7 says, 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it would not come on near you. Okay, so in the words of what I'm going to say is, although COVID-19 is killing a lot of people left and right, it is not going to touch you. God, it has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us, you know, instructions on how to live every day in a happy, go-lucky, in a great spirit, in a great spirited way. So once you get off the phone with us, live your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, don't worry about what's going on now, because tomorrow is going to bring a new day, new future, new blessings, and new beginnings.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. Lady C, what a closing. What a powerful closing, Lady C. I'm so glad that you're here with me, and I want to thank you, and I want to thank all of our listeners tonight. Those of you all we weren't able to get to, please continue to call in early, 5 to 7 minutes early, and press 1 on your dial. Listen, join us back here next Friday night for your one-hour inspirational program. And, of course, that's after the show on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Dr. Just Walk Show. If you choose to not be here next Thursday or next Friday, join us next Saturday for, I think it's International Divine Intervention Day program. That's where we ask God to intervene into the affairs of humanity. All right, you don't want to miss these programs, you all. Tell your friends about us as well. Until next Thursday or until next Friday or until next Saturday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night. And
good night.
Praise
good night. God bless
and
you all. Great night, everyone.
Put some praise music on
praise
and praise God.
Blessed.